Chapter 1. The Chinese Officer. I first ran across the trail in a hospital, 2 months after leaving the Grand Chaco behind me. As souvenirs of that continual war, I had collected 2 bullet holes and a case of malaria, and I was certainly in no condition to go racing off to China the way I did. The doctors told me so, and my friends threw up their hands in horror. But that didn't deter me. The urge was too strong. I felt that if I didn't go, I'd be eaten up by the gnawing determination to find the red diamonds of Kublai Khan. I had come across an original manuscript of Marco Polo's. The man that lent it to me did not know its value, and even when I told him, he laughed at me. I had plenty of money and I didn't need his help, but even so, I had him lined up for a cut in the event of success. Most copies of Marco Polo's travels leave out a great deal. They have to, because it is difficult to decipher, and even more difficult to translate. But, for my own amusement, I had been working on it for almost a month while laid up. Halfway through the volume, I read a paragraph about a chest of fabulous red stones, which glittered like the sun through red-stained quartz. Stones which would cut even metal. At first I thought he meant rubies. Then, on further description, I understood that he could mean diamonds, and only diamonds. Red diamonds. The things were worth millions. Many millions. My appetite for the unusual was whetted by that paragraph. I made a note of it for later reference, and it was a good thing that I did. Otherwise, I might never have connected it with another, later item. Further on in the book, the famous traveler stated that the beliefs of the Asiatics were scarcely understandable to Western minds. He stated further that his host, the Emperor of Asia, Kublai Khan, had requested that a chest of glittering red stones be buried with him to light his way to heaven and to serve as offerings to the gods. Marco Polo, in his painstaking way, had covered years in the writing of his book. The two remarks were far apart in inscription, months perhaps. Suddenly, I saw the light. I sat up straight in bed, gripping the tattered pages in both hands, shivering with excitement. I was wholly unconscious of my weakened condition, wholly forgetful of the Chaco. I saw only one thing, a chest of red diamonds buried in the grave of Kublai Khan. I threw the covers back and yelled for my clothes.
My clothes!
If Kublai Khan's grave were still intact, it meant that a fortune in rare stones had lain untouched for centuries. And I meant to be the first man there, whether I was sick or well. An hour later, I was in a telegraph station writing a cable to Jim Lang in China. I used a code book that 5 of us carried. Jim Lang and the other 3 had been with me in South America, and we had promised when we separated that when anything good turned up, we would let the one nearest to the scene know. As luck would have it, Jim Lang was in Peking. I had no qualms about setting the whole thing down baldly. No one else would ever know what I wrote. Besides, the code was so condensed that the entire message, including the address, only took 8 words. I told Jim to get a caravan of camels together and to assemble a company of soldiers, and I knew that he would.